Thank you for a privilege to gather like this. Thank you for privileged eyes to see us to show. Thank you for your son here. Thank you for our son of hearts. Thank you for light here, where the light so floods every mind and every heart. Thank you for us from faith and power. Thank you for togetherness in comprehension and participation. Thank you because your power is present here to heal every sickness, disease, and infirmity. Thank you for strength is ministered to everyone by the power of your spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because our love abounds yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. In all discernment, in the name of Jesus, thank you for fresh fire. Thank you for fire for today and the days to come. Thank you for strength for today and the days to come. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you because our hearts are full of gratitude. Thank you because we are motivated to forge ahead. Thank you because our eyes can see. Thank you, thank you. Thank you because we walk in our rights and our privileges. Thank you because we're encouraged. Give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, slap your neighbor. High five. Take your seat. Praise God. Amen, amen. Okay, well, this is my last for the series, of course. Handling the scriptures rightly. Amen? I hope not to go beyond. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, for a subject like this, it should take us till next year, right? We want to if we want to handle the scriptures right, we should keep handling it. Amen. But of course we'll do that in a number of subjects after now, and we'll continue to do that. I mean, I believe that this will now help us to continue to handle the scriptures rightly and better. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. 2 Timothy 3. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Hagimon sustiglegavai burkusto bretai chunama non velo toki de veragens. Tigerovai kustola ana. Clarity and direction. Clarity and direction. With God, it is a regular occurrence, even in times that you don't know what to do, where to go, and what step to take at that very time. Always know that the leading of God is ever present. And as you stay and abide, that which is unclear to you gets to be clearer. And as you take a step of faith, or do what you know to do, even at that time, God is ever faithful to make you know or see what to do. Always judging faithful, clarity and direction is his forever will for you. Therefore, you will always have clarity and direction. Move on, walk on, trust him. Put your faith in what he has said. Put your faith in him. Surely, at the end of the tunnel, there will always be light. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen.
Okay, I believe that blessed someone. Verse 15. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me say it like it is usually said of men. If you don't remember anything in this series, right, you should remember verse 14. Amen? Or they have do you. Pardon me for saying it that way. Okay? The admonition remains to learn. And not only learn, to be assured of what you're learning. And thirdly, to continue. In your assurance and learning. Okay? Or to continue learning and being assured. However way you want to put that. Amen? So the admonition remains, ensure that you learn. Learn well. Okay? Don't just learn. Be assured of what you're learning. Be sure of it. Be sure of it. See, let me say this to you. Probably you must have heard this in some other series, maybe a series like Salvation. Okay? You understand Salvation? Once you take away assurance from Christianity, it loses its flavor, so to say. Christianity is assurance. So we don't know where we are going when we die. That's not Christianity. We don't know who we meet in heaven. That's not Christianity. I understand from the perspective of men sizing up people and thinking that, okay, this lady who is looking dressed like a Christian, that's the one that you find in heaven. And the one that people size up and say, this one cannot even be a Christian. You know, I understand all of those things. I understand men assuming that all that is happening before their eyes is all there is to happenings in this world. A man can do evil for most part of his life and on his deathbed receive Jesus. You see him in heaven. Praise God. Amen. So if you were not at the deathbed of that person, don't assume. Praise God. But if you can be assured that he never opened his heart to the gospel, we know where he's going. Amen?
Amen.
Are you following?
Yes,
once you take away assurance from Christianity, you are almost left with nothing. Yeah, we're not sure whether God has forgiven us. What do you mean? I'm not sure if faith really works. Maybe it's just, you know, coincidence. Just life. What do you mean? How do you tell you are a son of God? I am. Praise God. Hallelujah. Once you take away that assurance from Christ, you are almost left with nothing. Our faith is our assurance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our faith is our assurance. His word is our assurance. Amen, amen. Okay? So, never forget that. Always remember that. Sorry, I'll just have to take off. But let me just highlight something that is important, I believe, at this time. Verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It simply means that the way God has designed or put together the scriptures, don't forget verse 16, right? It's profitable for teaching, and that will lead to conviction, and that will lead to correction or improvement of life and character, and that will lead to education or tutorage in righteousness. Now it says that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished. In other words, the man of God is fully equipped or well equipped unto all good works. That makes you see that the Bible, the scriptures are sufficient. Amen? The scriptures are sufficient. The scriptures are sufficient for learning. They are sufficient for teaching. Don't add to it. Don't remove from it. Okay? Some people say what I just said now in a wrong way. That is, only read the Bible. Don't read any other material. Yes, if the material you are trying to read is a material that is saying there are more books that should be in the Bible, don't read it. But if the material is supposed to aid you to understand the Bible texts or the books in the Bible, you should read it. Amen? Praise God. Your church notes should be precious to you. Don't say, let's overrate church. No, it must be precious to you, your church notes. Both the one that you are using now and the ones that have, expired came to my head. The one that have expired, that is the one that you have used and are filled up, so to say. You know, there are books, sermons recorded in audio and video format that are supposed to be for your good. Amen? But when we say don't add to or remove, we're not saying don't read anything else. Okay? But we say let the Bible be the major influence. There are certain books, there are certain sermons, there are certain explanations that you need to hear that will help you to understand the Bible. Amen? Amen? Okay. So I just needed to clarify that. So you must then see the scriptures as sufficient. Sufficient for Bible learning and teaching. Sufficient. Okay? Enough for growth, enough for ministry. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Of course, that lets you know that diligence is required. And in your diligence, you show yourself acceptable unto God or before God. And then you present yourself a teacher of the scriptures that is blameless or innocent or without blame in your delivery of truth. How? Handling aright the scriptures, presenting the word of truth. Okay? And like we've said again and again, if there's a right way to handle the scriptures, then there's a wrong way. If there's an admonition to handle the scriptures rightly, it means that there is every tendency to handle the scriptures wrongly. Okay? At times, wrongly will be hastily. In a hasty fashion. Okay? In Luke 24:44-46, Jesus, of course, took his disciples through the law of Moses. And what was he busy saying concerning himself? Okay, verse 45 says, then he opened their understanding and my understanding scriptures. Okay? And then 46 says, it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from dead the third day, and that repentance and the remission of sins should preach in his name. That's verse 47 among all nations. Okay, so in verse 46, you see what Jesus was teaching them, amen, from the scriptures, what he was showing them. And it was concerning himself. Of course, in John 1:45, we have found whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. John 5:39-40, John 5:45-47. I mean, we can go on and on. Show or say that the scriptures are concerning Jesus himself. In Acts 3:18, Peter preaching in the temple, having healed the man by the beautiful gate who was lame from birth. He said all that God had spoken through the mouth of the prophet, he has fulfilled by the suffering of Christ. Okay? In 1 Peter 1:10 and 11, you find the same saying, the suffering of Christ is glory that should follow. In 2 Peter 1:19-21, Peter says, that you need to know this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Okay? It was never pertaining to self. Okay? From the standpoint of the prophets. Nobody was trying to say his own. The same spirit communicated the same message through the ages to the prophets, Hebrews 1:1 and verse 2. God was sundry times and in diverse manners speaking time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And then, I think these last days spoken unto us by his son. So, 2 Peter 1, it goes on to conclude in 21. For prophecy came not in no time by the will of man, but the only men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In 2 Peter 3:15-16, Peter acknowledges Paul's epistles by saying that he wrote concerning salvation, and he wrote according to the wisdom given to him of God. And those who struggled with Paul's epistles did the same with the scriptures. And I've said that over and over again. If you struggle with the answers to a question, you will struggle with the question itself, right? If you have a mathematical question, right, and then it says, solve this maybe quadratic equation or simultaneous equation, and the answer is 5, for instance. And then you say, no, it's not 5. It's not 5. How can it be 5? Look at this long equation. How can the answer be 5? You know, the answer is not 5. The answer is x squared minus 2 5a plus 2b and blah blah blah. You say, okay, you struggle. That means when you handle the question, you struggle with it, right? You make blunders, you make mistakes, right? So Peter was simply saying that those who are unstable and unlearned rest what Paul wrote, as they also do the other scriptures unto their own destructions. Amen? Amen? So, the scriptures require explanation. Remember I told you from 2 Peter 3:15 and 16 that the scriptures require wisdom, right? Remember? Require wisdom and also require explanation or revelation. Okay? They do. So, you must Always take note of that. So that means that the scriptures must be handled with care. Read through the scriptures like you understand what it is. I mean, that's how you should. Because if you don't, then you would have issues arriving at the message, or you'll be mishandling the scriptures. Okay? In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, Peter says that those who preach the gospel to you reported what the prophets revealed. Are you there? What the prophets said diligently and inquired, right? Those who are preaching the gospel to you, I'm saying what Peter said, those who are preaching the gospel to you now reported or are reporting what the prophets revealed or spoke out by the Spirit. Okay? So from 1 Peter 1, 10, 11, and 12, the subject matter of the scriptures, you can call it salvation or grace or the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, or the gospel. Again, from 1 Peter 1, 10, 11, and 12, you can call the subject matter of the scriptures, number one, salvation, number two, grace, number three, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, number four, what's number four again? The gospel. Number four, the gospel. Okay? The gospel that is preached to you now is, or those preaching the gospel to you, let's say that like Peter said it, are simply reporting what the prophets revealed. Amen? So you must always remember that the scriptures are not just random utterances or random compendium of historical documents or religious facts. No. Amen? No. No. Glory to God. Like we read in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. In 2 Peter 1 and 20:21, or let's say 21, holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So you must understand the way the scriptures are wired. Now, let's say some of the things we have said before very quickly. That in reading and understanding, or in reading, understanding, or teaching the scriptures, you must be mindful of two things. Number one, the writer's content. Amen? The writer's intent. Sorry for that. Not content, intent. The writer's intent. Praise God. The writer's intent. Okay? You must ensure that in reading, in teaching, arrive at the writer's... What did the writer mean when he wrote? That is what you must mean today. So, in a very simple format, if the writer meant that you should pray regularly, don't mean today that you should pray sometimes. You will be misquoting the writer. Does that make sense? Don't for any reason begin to say that this is what I think. This is what I feel it means. No. Nobody likes to be misquoted. And I'm sure you know that it is not the prophet that will feel misquoted. It is God who will feel misquoted. When we do not handle the scriptures rightly, when we do not arrive at the writer's intent. Amen, amen. Number two, there is always a message. Ultimately, Christ is God's message to man. Never forget that. And that is why Jesus was teaching concerning himself. Because it's the message of the prophets. Amen, amen. It's the message of the prophets. Revelation 19 and 10, the B part. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, the testimony, the uncovering, the unveiling, the revelation of Jesus is the essence. That's the word spirit. Is the essence of prophecy. Prophetic utterances are inspired to reveal Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. Always note that. So Christ, ultimately, is the message of God to man. And therefore, in your study, you must arrive at that. So if the scriptures are not handled rightly, we lose the essence and the message of the scriptures given to us of God. We arrive at the wrong destination. See, let me say something to you. Okay? I'm not sure if I've said that in this series. Don't assume that because God bore witness with signs, wonders, divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. The message of the preacher is therefore correct. Again, just imagine a meeting now, and then the power of God was ministered. There was a miracle. Somebody got healed or something happened. God bore witness, okay, to the ministry of someone with the miraculous or the supernatural. Don't assume that because that happened, it therefore means that whatever was said has to be correct. Amen. Remember we read Song of Solomon, right? Song of Songs. And we saw from chapter 2, right, how the beloved went to the streets to seek for a bride, right? Like he went into the streets and began to seek after. God is eager to convince men. Praise God. Amen, amen. And God is good. And even if you are going to speak from the perspective of the ministry of the person, God will always honor his word. He would always honor his servants on whom his honor is. You know, at times believers think that, and see, believe me, don't misquote me. This is not to condone sin. Believe, you know, a lot of people think that when somebody has done wrong, God should not use the person again. Amen? You know, when someone has done wrong, God should not use the person again. The same thing we just carry over. So if this happened, then what the person said must be correct. No. Doctrine is only agreeable to the degree it reports what is written. Amen? Amen? So let's say you know me, and then when it comes to money, I have top-notch integrity. That does not mean that if I now teach Bible, it will now be correct. Are you following? There are rules to Bible teaching. I can tell you a story that, you know, God woke me up in the middle of the night, and I tried to sleep, I could not sleep. Every time I lay down, I found myself on the desk again. I tried it 10 times. It was happening. Such a supernatural experience. And, you know, it just opened my eyes, and he told me, the meaning of this verse is this. It had better be correct. If not, the experience is just my experience. Amen? Are you following this? Are you following this? So, let your mind be mature. Don't say, if he can raise the dead, then the Bible teaching must be correct. It's not always so. Amen, amen? Have I said this to despise supernatural ministry? No, I have not. Are you there? I have not. I have not. So, that's that. Let's move on. Also, we're able to say that some things should be noted in Bible teaching, particularly from the scriptures. Of course, some of these rules will apply generally, not only Genesis to Malachi, but also Matthew through Revelation. Is the purpose of the writing. When you find the purpose of the writing, it helps you to know why the writer or the prophet is speaking the way he is. The way he or she is. Okay? Number two is the writer's language. The writer's language. Understand how they spoke. Take an example. In Bible, when in the Gospels, when Jesus fed 5,000 men, historians now tell us that the way they used to count in those days, though there were women and children, they would count the men. So actually, they would say that the people there were more than 5,000, with an estimation of about 12,000 people. All right? Hey, are you there? But you say, the Bible said 5,000, so it's 5,000. And, I mean, we could just go on and on. Let me not take time. So, be mindful of the writer's language. The way he delivers his message. The language he uses to communicate. Be mindful of it. Number three is scriptural or biblical terminologies. Amen? Scriptural or biblical terminologies. If you've understood the biblical terminology earth from Genesis, by the time you get to Psalm 24, it says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. You would understand what it is. Amen? Amen? There are biblical terminologies. Don't say, you know, this is what I think, you know, because today I know the earth to be what I know the earth to be. And therefore I say the earth is, then I put in my own interpretation into Psalm 24, then I would arrive at the wrong destination. Are you there? Amen, amen. Also, remember we said three things again. Number one, never assume you are the writer. Okay, that usually feels funny and not necessary to say, but I think it's important. You know, not because anybody easily feels that they are the ones that wrote the scriptures, but at times the posture you may take may make one conclude that perhaps you wrote it, right? So never assume you are the writer. Don't. You are the recipient. You are the recipient. Number two, never simply assume the writings are about you. A lot of times you do that. The Bible is the word of God to me. The Bible is God's book to me. Great. And that's correct. Okay? You should read it every day. You should read it all the time. You should take it as God's word to you, right? But when you settle down to read the Bible, firstly understand that the Bible is about someone. Firstly. And is the Christ. Okay? Now, you will now find information or knowledge about us or you in him, in the primary subject. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? In the primary subject. I mean, John 7, 38, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. If you maintain that rule, you will not say, out of my belly flows rivers of living water. Jesus was speaking concerning himself. John even said in verse 39 that Jesus was speaking of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. The Holy Ghost was not yet given. Or he said, out of my belly flows rivers of living water. You are saying the Spirit of God is available for you to receive from me. Ah, that's strong, right? It is Jesus that gives the Spirit. The Father gave him the right to quicken whomsoever he will. In Ezekiel 36, 23 to 28, Ezekiel 36, 23 to 28, the giving of the Spirit is forgiveness of sins. The giving of the Spirit is cleansing from unrighteousness and iniquity. The giving of the Spirit is to raise from death to life, to bring into the family of God. Amen, amen. We're going to go on and on. Firstly, about him. 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 Is the subject matter. You read some Psalms, I mean, we read a number. In Psalm 16, 8 to 11, Peter preaching in Acts 2, from verse 25 downward, he said, let me freely speak to you. David's sepulcher is still with us till today. So even though you read Psalm 16 and say a Psalm of David and say, thou will not leave my soul in hell, and you feel, okay, that's David speaking about him. See, that's not David. David was prophesying of the resurrection of Christ. Amen, amen. So firstly about him. That's number two, right? We are beneficiaries and recipients in him. Number three, the scriptures are a body of knowledge, should be read or studied together. So we quickly, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, amen. 8 chapters. We read till chapter 4, right? And I'm not sure we'll be able to. Be able to read through, but we have laid a foundation, right? To understand that book. According to history, the book, portions of it, is read during the annual Jewish feast. of Passover. The Passover is a feast that celebrates the preservation or the deliverance of the children of Israel. So in case you are reading your notes through this series and you see anywhere that I mistakenly mentioned Exodus for Passover, please correct it there, okay? Deliverance of the children of Israel by the Passover lamb. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul says, Christ is our Passover lamb. Now, why would the Jews be celebrating that feast where they killed a lamb, put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, and then roasted the rest of the animal, took it inside, ate it in haste. The destroyer came and could not destroy their firstborn. And they read Song of Solomon. Of course, you remember we were able to read a number of scriptural references that it is because of God's love for Israel that he delivered them from Egypt, right? Hey, are you there? It is because of God's love for Israel that he delivered them from Egypt. So, deliverance, God makes possible because of his love for man. So, the Passover will not just be an event where they will remember how they were delivered in Egypt. It will also be an event where they will read about God's love for them. And that's why the book of the Song of Songs is read during the Passover. Amen? So, what you read in the Song of Songs or the Song of Solomon is a rhythm concerning Christ. It's not a book for wooing a woman. Get your lines right. Amen? Don't use this book. I say, is it a threat? Yes. Get your lines right. Say what you need to say. Spend the money. Hallelujah. Don't use this book. So the beloved is Christ. Amen. Ephesians 1:6. Accepted in the beloved. So the woman or the women in this book, the virgins, will speak of man. The women that the beloved is wooing. Or is it a wooing? No. He is wooing, right? The women, he is wooing. Okay, will be men. Figurative of mankind, men. And that's why I said carefully, without, you know, saying ahead of time that I don't want to get into trouble. But the truth is, God uses the utterances and the life of his prophets to pass across a message. So before you begin to get judgmental about Solomon, how he had 1,000 women in his life, that was to teach. Increase, multiplication in Christ. Not to say you can have several women as wife, as wives. No. 1 Kings 4. From 29 to 32 or 33. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, largeness of heart. And that's what played out in verse 32, where it says, he spake 3,000 proverbs, his songs 1,005. Amen, amen. Now, remember I reminded you that the title of the book is Song of Songs. Song of Songs. There's a singular song, amen, in the book that all the songs sing. It's the message of the book. It's the rhythm. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The love that exists between God and Israel is what was depicted here. By extension today, God and mankind. Or Christ and his church. Like we saw in Ephesians 5. And verse 32 now. This is a great mystery where I speak concerning Christ and the church. Quickly, let's read chapter 5 so that at least we read one chapter today. We still have, pardon me, no carryovers again. This is my last track for this series. Okay? So we'll read one chapter, then we'll get to another book. Hallelujah. Praise God. Or should I ask God for it? I will justify our staying longer. Or storm. Which one do you want? Okay, Song of Solomon. Are you there? Chapter 5. Are you ready? One, two, go. I'm coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is. I have put off my coat. I have washed my feet, how shall I defy them, my beloved? Put in. I rose up to open, and my hands. I opened to my beloved, and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, O thou fairest among women, my beloved, his eyes, his lips are like lilies, his hands. Hallelujah. Amen. So see, that beloved, singular, that person. Remember I told you, not just God expresses his love for Israel, also Israel. Israel's expected response to the God of their salvation. Okay? Quickly, let's read. How do we do? Chapter 6. Are you there? Quickly, chapter 6. One to go. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved? I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Thou art beautiful, O my love. Pomegranate are thy temples. And bless thou, yea, the queens and the concubines. Return, O Shulamite. Amen, amen. Read chapter 7, verse 1, just verse 1. Want to go? Hallelujah. So perhaps from chapter 6, you see plural women and then singular women. Of course, plural would depict mankind or humanity, and then that singular would depict, using one entity to represent many. That is what God wants to do. Amen. What God wants to do. So, in other words, you can say humanity and then referring to the new creation. Are you there? Hey, are you there? Amen, amen. You know, so if you read like that and navigate through, you'll be able to, understand the Song of Solomon. God's love for Israel that moves him to do things for them. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You will see that in the Song of Solomon. Amen? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That one that will have everlasting life as a result of the work of God, you can liken to the Shulamite. Amen? She's single brother saying, my Shunammite. Amen. Proverbs 31. Aha. Proverbs 31. Time is fast spent. So we'll jump to verse 10. Proverbs 31. We'll read quickly. Amen, amen. Verse 1 starts by saying the prophecy. Amen. Prophecy. But let's jump to 10. Okay. That's where we read the virtuous woman from. From that verse to 31. Amen. Are you there? Let's quickly read one to go. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she... Yeah? She seeketh wool and walketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She arise and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. She gathered She perceived that our merchandise is good. She is not afraid. She maketh herself tapestry. Her husband is known. She maketh fine linen and delivereth. Strength and honor are clothing. With wisdom, and in her tongue is love kindness. And eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Give her. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't forget Ecclesiastes 9 and 13. And put it side by side with Proverbs 31 and 30. All right? This woman is a born again man. Amen. The diligence of a believer with his faith, in his faith, that's Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. Her husband is known in the gates. Evangelism. Are you there? Are you sure? Our diligence. See the things. Look at, where are you again? Verse 16. She considered a field in scripture. Field. Eh? Field. What does she do? She buys it. Labor here. Amen. With the fruit of her hands, she planted a vineyard. Ah! A preacher man. Glory to God. He says, there are many virtuous women who have done well, or there are many women who have done virtuously, or who have done well. That's, you know, men. But this one, new creation, he passed them. Hallelujah. That is the message here. Sorry for being angry. Or angrily passing it across. Wait, okay, you two, look at it. What you just read now, is it fair in the marriage? What the husband does is to sit with the elders by the gate. So to sit with the elders of the land. She's buying all the food. She's making food available for the house. She's doing everything. Is that marriage? The man in Christ publishing his Lord. Hallelujah. That's what's going on here. Amen, amen. Glory to God. That will create more problem. Everybody, say I'm that virtuous woman. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen. Follow the parable. What did Solomon say, Ecclesiastes 9 and 13 says, fear God, keep his commandments. This is the old duty of man, right?
Yes, sir.
Proverbs 31, 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Hallelujah. Amen, amen,
amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. You read this and you are strengthened to serve the Lord more. See again, verse 18. She perceived that her merchandise is good. A candle goeth not out by night. Labora. Amen, amen. Let's end it there. So handle the scriptures rightly. Amen? Handle the scriptures correctly. Settle down. Don't easily forget things. It is expected. See, those who canonized the Bible, God was walking through them. They expected that you should have read 1 Kings. 1 Kings is even not enough. The Torah, Genesis to Deuteronomy. It will lay the foundation. When you get to the writings of Solomon, you will not be saying, a king that God gave so much wisdom, he became so wealthy, but what was the problem? Women. You miss the message. Amen, amen? Amen? You miss the message. Glory to God. It's there to teach you something. It's not a joke. When you say the message is Jesus Christ, you think it's for one portion. The rest, they are storybooks. Stories to just read. No, it's the whole thing. The whole thing. Diligence, read it. If you don't see how he speaks about Jesus, read again. Sit with it. Sit, settle. We're not saying read Jesus into it. No. God has already inspired the prophets to preach Jesus, albeit in parables or proverbs. Sit down and get it clear. Amen, amen. Says your love is better than mine. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. I said glory to his name. Well, that's it. I believe that's sufficient for now. We'll take more in subsequent teachings. May not be series 2. Another subject will handle some more portions. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Is it the Bible? It's my book. It's open to me. Revelation of Jesus is what it communicates all the time. I see it, I know it, I teach it, I conduct my life according to this book. This book is my biggest influence. In the name of Jesus, I choose to be diligent. With the scriptures, I choose to be diligent. With the scriptures, I choose to be diligent with the scriptures to show myself approved or acceptable unto God. A Bible preacher or teacher that needed not to be ashamed, blameless, innocent, and without blame, handling aright the scriptures, presenting the word of truth. This is my story. I'll preach Jesus from the pages of the scriptures. I'll convince many men in the name of Jesus. My Bible is sufficient for Christian growth and ministry. I will convince many men in the name of Jesus. I will beautifully show, teach Jesus Christ from the pages of the scriptures, and many shall see and come to his love that is beckoning unto them in the name of Jesus. Glory to his name. Just pray for yourself 1 minute.